Well, I titled this message, Ugly Man, Beautiful Savior. I believe it was Huckleberry Finn who said this, human beings can be awful cruel to one another. How many of you have been recipients of someone else's cruelty? Raise your hand. I'm sure every hand goes up. But you know what? Just as much as we've been done wrong by others, the sad thing is we have done wrong to others ourselves. There is a dark side to each one of us. And boy, that dark side is ugly. Doesn't it sometimes surprise you? And you think, oh, that is just so ugly. I can't even believe that I thought that. Or I can't believe that I've done that. Have you ever done something and afterthought, what have I done? Boy, why is that? Well, that's because it's in our heart. It's in our nature. That fallen, sinful nature, we have that bent towards doing what's evil. Jesus said this, I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, out of Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, you don't have to turn there. He said, it's what comes from inside that defiles you. For from within, out of a person's heart, comes evil thoughts, murder, deceit, envy, slander, just to name a few. He said, all these things come from within. They are what defile you. And we understand that the fallen nature of man is such that it is capable of doing the most monstrous, horrific, immoral, evil, and unfair things to others, even to the most innocent of all people. You know, in the text before us, we're going to see a portrait of the ugliness of the fallen human condition. We'll read of rebellion. We'll read of murder. We'll read of manipulation and envy and a travesty of justice, compromise, and an innocent man being condemned to a horrifying death. I draw your attention to Mark's Gospel, chapter 15. We can pick up in verse 6. Now, at the feast, this was the feast of Passover, the feast of unleavened bread. This was during those festive times in the history of the Jews, where there was multitudes and multitudes of people in Jerusalem coming to worship. And it was during this feast that Pilate, as it was his custom, to release one of the prisoners to the Jews. And it would be whoever they requested. And there was this one named Barabbas, who was chained. Picture this in your mind. He was chained with his fellow rebels. They had committed murder in the rebellion. So here comes Barabbas. He's chained with some other rebels. And the multitude, they begin crying aloud. And they began to ask Pilate to do just as he had always done for them, which was to release a prisoner. But Pilate answered them, saying, do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews? Now, you know that we are at this point in the text where Jesus already had a couple mock trials before the Sanhedrin or the religious leaders, and this was an all-night thing. And then early in the morning, they bring him to Pilate to have Pilate fulfill a desire that they had and they couldn't legally do, which was to have Jesus crucified. And so Jesus is there. Barabbas is there. These are the criminals that are up for choice. And Pilate, he says, do you want me to release Jesus? Now, we understand that Pilate already knew that Jesus was innocent. Pilate's wife had a dream. She said she was very, very bothered in this dream that she had concerning Jesus and said, listen, have nothing to do with that just man. Don't have nothing to do with that man. So he already was a little conflicted, and it appears that he was trying to have Jesus released, several attempts. But the people just would not have it. And in verse 10, he says, for he knew that the chief priests had handed Jesus over because of envy. He knew that really what was motivating these religious leaders was not anything that Jesus had done wrong. It was just that they wanted Jesus out of the picture because Jesus was a threat to them. And Jesus was just fulfilling the will of the Father. But the chief priest, listen to this. The chief priest, think about it. The religious leaders, those who should have been directing the people with right hearts, with good hearts, but they just couldn't because they were hypocrites. And their hearts were far from God. They went around stirring up the crowd. What did that look like? You're a man of position, going around influencing the crowd, saying, hey, start to say, have him crucified. Have him crucified. Crucify him. Pick Barabbas to be released. Pick Barabbas. What did they do? Go around, pick Barabbas. Hey, pick Barabbas. I mean, what did that look like? Either way, we know it was evil and it was driven by an evil motive. And so the chief priests, they stirred up the crowd so that he should rather release Barabbas to them. And then Pilate in verse 12 answered and said to them again, what then do you want me to do with him whom you call the King of the Jews? And so they cried out again, crucify him. And then Pilate said to them, why? What evil has he done? But they cried out all the more, crucify him. So Pilate, wanting to gratify the crowd, released Barabbas to them, and he delivered Jesus after he had scourged him to be crucified. Now, let's consider ugly man. And here are some of the characters I just want to point out. And I just simply called it this, the characters in the ugly. The first we see the prisoner, Barabbas. Now, Barabbas was a well-known figure in the Jewish community. He was known for his real hatred against the Roman authorities that ruled over the people of Israel. Some believe that he was an eminent insurrectionist that perhaps led this revolt against the Roman governmental officials. The revolt ended in Roman officials being murdered, and then Barabbas and some of his accomplices were arrested. Now, it was very likely that Barabbas was headed for crucifixion, being a menace to the Roman government, but got a timely break, for he was the people's choice to be released. And instead, Jesus was condemned to death. So we have the prisoner. But then we also have the people. Oh, and they were just as ugly. These people, they were a manipulated group, who some think were the same group of people who about a week earlier were shouting, "Hosanna in the highest!" Remember that? When Jesus triumphantly entered into Jerusalem and now are shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" It's more than likely that these people, they were predominantly a different group of people who took their cues from the religious leaders. I have no doubt that, by and large, this was a major setup, a major travesty of justice done by the religious leaders. And the multitudes were just, so to speak, a pawn being used, being manipulated. And they had their own reasons. They probably wanted Barabbas out because Barabbas was a rebel rouser. And they all hated being under the Roman government. But nevertheless, they were a manipulated group. And so we move from the people to, I just say, the Pilate, but we know is Pilate the governor. And Pilate was the governor of Judea, but he was no fool. The man was quite discerning. He was able to see past the facade of the religious leaders who wanted to have Jesus killed, claiming that Jesus was a political troublemaker. Luke tells us this, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Messiah, a king." And so they brought Jesus on some false claims that Jesus was committing another insurrectionist and treason. Now, Pilate discerned that they brought Jesus to him because they were motivated by envy. Oh, envy is an ugly thing. Envy in the heart is could be very, very devastating to others. Cause a lot of damage. A lot of people have been hurt and lives been taken just because of envy. Wanting what someone else has. Have you were you ever envious of someone? I was envious of someone in my own family. When I was young, I had a cousin. He's still alive. Honey, you might have to edit all this. But I was envious of him because he was much better looking than me, more popular than me. He had a lot of girls. I found the best one, though. You're definitely going to have to edit that. I don't want to offend him. But I didn't hurt him, but the envy was there. He had what I didn't have, and I wanted it. I'm sure you have your own stories of envy. Who wants to come and tell? No, I'm just kidding. Pilate, he discerned that they were envious of Jesus. Pilate also discerned that Jesus was innocent of any kind of rebel rousing or treason. Pilate numerous times tried to have Jesus exonerated, but to no avail. And when push came to shove, in order to gratify the people, Pilate gave them exactly what they demanded, and that was the order to have Jesus crucified. And then lastly, we have the pious, the religious leaders. The chief priests were everything but right with God. It's so sad to think that there could be religious people, but in reality, they don't even know God. It's so sad. The scriptures talk about some who have a form of godliness but deny the power, which is the gospel, which is Christ. Certainly, these men denied Christ. And you know what's sad? It's tragic. If they never came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they are in hell because they denied Christ when Christ was there before them. And let me warn some of you, Jesus is alive. No, you can't see him with your human eyes, but he has risen from the grave, and in the spirit, he is alive. There is a whole nother kingdom, the eternal kingdom, the spiritual kingdom. We're physical, but one day there will be a translation. We will spend eternity in either heaven or hell, and what will make the deciding factor is what will you do with Jesus? You know, not to get off track for too long, but what a question. If you look at verse 12 of what Pilate asked, "What then do you want me to do with him who you call the King of the Jews?" What then do you want me to do with Jesus? You know, that is a question that all of us have to answer. Pilate was asking, "What do you want me to do with Jesus?" And the people had to make a choice. And they made a choice to have him crucified. You and I, that question is still, as I said, very current. What are you going to do with Jesus? What are you doing with Jesus? You might be sitting here and you might think just because you came here that you're right with God, or you might read your Bible and think you're right with God. But, you know, I really believe that even though you may be seeking deep down inside, if you are not right with God, deep, deep, deep down inside, you know that. You know that. But the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus, he died on the cross for your sins, and he loves you. And I implore you, make that decision to follow Christ. What are you going to do with Jesus? Are you going to receive him, or are you going to reject him? Today is the day of salvation. I exhort you to receive. Now the chief priests, as I said, were everything but right with God. They worked so hard to have an innocent man convicted of a crime he did not commit and to suffer death by capital punishment. And all of this was driven by envy. Envy of Jesus. And they used the people to get their evil agenda accomplished. Now, these characteristics, they represent the realities, some of the realities that still are prevalent among us as humans. They represent the human, the fallen human condition. And I want to present, moving forward, as we're soon to close, I want to present it this way: the prisoner. The prisoner represents the rebellious. The people, they represent the manipulated. A pilot, he represents the men pleaser, the man pleaser. And then lastly, the pious represents the envious. Now I wonder if we could take a few minutes just to assess ourselves. I wonder if any of us fall into these categories. Have you ever met somebody who's just has that rebellious nature? They just seem to fight against authority, and they seem to have a chip in their heart, and that might be some of you here. You might be able to say, You know, that's kind of how I am, Pastor. My first initial response is, who are you to tell me what to do? Ain't nobody got time for that. You know, and the Lord's trying to work in your heart. And maybe there's a situation right now and you're fighting against the Lord. You're resisting the Lord. You know what's interesting? Barabbas, it means bar, which means son of. The word could be broken up into a couple words. Bar means son. Abba means father. It could be son of the father. And in a sense, our human father, so to speak, Adam, the first man, he sinned against God. And because of his sin, being the federal head, he affected the whole human race. And so in reality, all the sons of men, all the sons of the father, so to speak, we are all rebels by nature. It's as the scripture says that we are at enmity with God. So we can all, to some degree, understand that rebellious nature. All of us, we've had our times where we were God. Who are you to tell me what to do? Come on, don't say, oh, I've never. Well, maybe you've never? Really? Never? I don't believe you. But by nature, we are at enmity or at hostility with God. And maybe we don't see ourselves that way, but that's the way we are by our sinful nature. That's the way God sees us. We understand rebellion. We've seen it. It's in there. But maybe some of you relate more to the manipulated group, so to speak. That is, your nature, your type of personality, you're not so much of a, who are you to tell me what to do, the chip on my shoulder kind of person. You're more like, all right, I'll do it. You're easily influenced, easily manipulated. And that's not good. And you've made some choices, you've compromised because you're easily manipulated. Family. In the workplace, social gatherings, you know the right thing. You have a relationship with God, but in certain environments, you're easily influenced and you buckle. You easily manipulated. God wants to grow you up out of that. The third group, Pilate, a man pleaser. Maybe you're more of a man pleaser. How many of you struggle with that? Oh, I hate that about myself. You know, to some degree, I kind of say, so far, I've battled with all these things. There's times where I could be a rebel. There's times that put me in the right situation that I was manipulated. And then after, I thought to myself, why'd I do that? What an idiot. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to let people manipulate me like that. But then there's the wanting to please people. Are you okay? You okay? Did I do something to hurt you? Did I do something? Are you okay? What can I do? You want a dollar? Is that all I got? Some of us, we are gripped with trying to please people. We live in people's minds. We don't live with the mind of Christ influencing us and standing on our own two feet and saying, hey, you know what? I don't need to please anybody but one. Because if I please the one, I'll please everybody else. And if people aren't pleased, that's not my problem, it's theirs. Because let's face it, was everybody pleased with Jesus? He was perfect. So if there was people who found fault with Jesus, there will be people who find fault with you. You just can't please everybody. But then I think here, one of the worst. And these are all bad. This is all ugly. They're all ugly. is the pious. Because what they had was envy in their hearts. Oh, envy is just such an ugly thing. I already talked about it a little bit. But envy can really destroy relationships. Envy's led to murder. In churches, envy can destroy churches, split churches. You can see where people have envy in their heart because they're not content with what they have. They want what someone else has. And the sad thing is that envy is not something that's so easily seen. These folks, they covered up, these religious leaders, the religious people covered up their true motive. Saying, oh, it's him. He's the one with the problem. Jesus is the one with the problem. He's trying to subvert our nation, saying you shouldn't pay taxes to Caesar. He's so he's a megalomaniac. He thinks he's the Messiah. He's the one with the problem. And meanwhile, it was all envy. And that's how we can be. We assassinate characters because we're envious inside. Oh, that's an ugly thing. Envy is an ugly thing. It's all ugly. Ugly man. Ugly man. We are ugly. I know what you're thinking. Speak for yourself, Pastor. Well, maybe you're not thinking that, but you understand the point. The nature of man is ugly. But you know what? We have a beautiful Savior. You know why? Because Jesus took the place of Barabbas. Jesus took the place of the religious leaders. Jesus took the place of Pilate. Jesus took the place of the multitude. And Jesus takes our place too. And yes, the human condition is ugly. There is no doubt about it. But our Savior is so beautiful that no matter how ugly we may be, if we say, Lord, forgive me, have mercy on me, He already took the place. He already paid the penalty for these sins. You might be here battling with envy. You can get it right now. And say, oh God, take this away from me. Help me. You took my place so I wouldn't have to continue to battle with these things and walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Or maybe you seek to please other people all the time. Oh God, deliver me. Help me. Help me. Maybe you're easily influenced. Or maybe you're a little rebel at heart. I'm not going to clean. Are you? That's beneath me. Who are you to tell me what to do, Pastor? Push a vacuum? Psst. That's for you, Pastor, which I've done it. Whatever the case is, look, He took our place. He took our place. And maybe some of you have to do business with the Lord in these closing moments, and you could say, God, have mercy on me. Remember what Jesus said on the cross. He said, Father, forgive them. Forgive them. And sometimes we don't know what we're doing because we let that ugliness control us. And we are fools for doing that, but we do it. And so we say, Lord, have mercy on me. Forgive me. Well, let's take a minute. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. And Father, we thank You so much for how faithful You are to us. We thank You for Your mercy, Your grace, and Your kindness. We pray, God, that You would continue to lead us. We thank You that You do speak to us. And we pray, God, that You would have Your way in our hearts. And with every head bowed, all eyes closed, listen, if you're here this morning and you haven't made a commitment to Jesus, today is the day of salvation. Don't put it off. Jesus died on the cross for your sins. He loves you. You are precious in His sight. And the way for you to make a commitment to Jesus is to acknowledge that you are a sinner in need of the beautiful Savior. Ask Him to forgive you of your sins and put your trust in Jesus. Jesus, He came, He died on the cross. And then on the third day, He rose again in fulfillment of the Scriptures. He died because of our sins, but He rose for our justification. And you can be right with God right now if you turn your life to Christ. And I implore you, turn your life to Christ. And you can do that by a simple prayer, as simple as this. From your heart, you say, Father, I recognize that I am a sinner. I understand that you have sent Jesus to die on the cross for my sins. Jesus, forgive me. Father, forgive me. I commit my life to you. Use me. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.